The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and your host, Don Amici.
This is Don Amici putting out the welcome sign for another Chase and Sanborn Hour with Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, the Stroud Twins, and Robert Armbruster. May I add a hearty welcome to our new listeners in Canada, the Dominion-wide radio audience of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's English Network, whose 29 stations have now joined our network. We trust that you'll be listening at this hour every Sunday, and that we can count you all as our friends, and of course, friends of Chase and Sanborn.
Oh, Mr. Amici.
Yes, Charlie?
Since Canada joins us tonight, I feel I must recite.
Well, Charlie, I can see your point. If you must recite, you must.
Yeah, there's no use fighting it, no. Oh, Don Amici, he's our host. He's loved by all from coast to coast.
Charlie.
And Nelson Eddy sings so sweet. His voice is like a bird, tweet, tweet.
Charlie!
For all my blues, she is the cure. I mean my girl, Dottie L'Amour.
Charlie!
To the Stroud twins, Claude and Clarence, who can't be telled apart by parents.
Charles!
Never mind. Bob Armbruster sure is grand. I love him, and I love his band. I love to sit on Bergen's knee. For I am him, and him is me, darling.
That's all most poetic, Charlie, and I know you have a special sonnet prepared for our guest whose grace, charm, and talent have made her one of Hollywood's most brilliant young actresses, Margot.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Here's a toast to you, Miss Margot, for wherever you go, I'll go.
Oh. Modest, southern, and powerful sweet, Charlie. Don't you think so, Nelson?
Yeah, man.
Well, so much for Charlie's poetic outburst. And here's Nelson Eddy with a robust song in the true old English style. Give a man a horse he can ride. Nelson Eddy.
Give a man a horse he can ride. Give a man a boat he can sail. And his rank and wealth, his strength and health, on sea nor shore shall fail. Give a man a horse he can ride. Give a man a boat he can sail. And his rank and wealth, his strength and health, on sea nor shore shall fail. Give a man a pipe he can smoke. Give a man a book he can read. And his home is bright with a calm delight, though the room be poor indeed. Give a man a pipe he can smoke, give a man a book he can read, and his home is bright with a calm delight.
Most of us have a warm spot in our hearts for the melodies of Victor Herbert. And from the operetta Eileen comes one of the loveliest of them. Nelson Eddy singing Thine Alone. That's certainly a fine send-off for the new year.
I hope it's going to be a happy one for everybody, Don. But I don't seem to have done so well with our friend Charlie McCarthy. He looks kind of down in the mouth. What's the matter, Charlie?
Oh, nothing. Just nothing, that's all.
Oh, now, come, Charlie. There must be something. You're so usually full of pep.
There's just nothing wrong with me, that's all. I'm happy. Full of pep. Whoopee.
Charlie.
No.
Charlie.
Don't coax me, Bertie.
Charlie.
I've just got one of those spells, that's all.
No, Charlie. Now, what is the matter?
Oh, there's no use pretending, Bergen. I feel sorry for you.
You feel sorry for me?
Yeah.
But, Charlie, I'm perfectly all right.
Oh, there's no use forcing a smile with me, Bergen. There's no use trying to be a Polly Quachi, a Poochie Coochie.
No.
There's no use pretending.
No. What are you talking about?
Well, I hate to tell you, but I went past your house this afternoon.
Oh, I see.
Why didn't you tell me you couldn't pay the rent?
But I have paid the rent.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Still the big front, huh?
Yes. What are you talking about?
Would it surprise you to know you're dispossessed?
Well, it would, yes.
Well, surprise, you are.
Well, would you mind telling me what makes you think so?
Well, it isn't customary to have the furniture piled up in the front lawn.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. Charlie, the furniture was out there on the sidewalk because I'm having the house redone.
Oh, yes.
Redecorated.
Oh, do tell.
Yes.
Oh, so that's what it was. Yes. Then you're still in the chips.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm not broke.
No. Well, you shouldn't be. You pay me off in peanuts and tinfoil.
Yes.
All right. How are you having the house decorated? Are you going to do it Queen Victoria or Louis the Cat's Tour or something like that?
Oh, seriously, Charlie. For the last few weeks, that's been quite a problem.
It has.
Yes. I'm undecided whether I should make the master bedroom French provincial or early American.
Oh, you mean have the bedroom downstairs?
No. Yes. No, I'm speaking of the different periods in furniture.
Oh, naturally, yes. Yes.
There's French provincial and early American.
Yes, there is, of course. Yes. Can't get away from it.
No. But the bedroom would still be upstairs.
Oh, that's good.
And it would still be a bedroom.
Oh, I'd stick to that if I were you.
Yes.
Splendid idea.
Yes.
Why don't you make it a French provincial with a dash of early American?
Well, no, that's no good.
Because I thought of it?
No. It's just no good, that's all.
Well, that's reason enough, I guess.
Yes. You see, there'd be no harmony. We must have harmony.
Oh, you can't do without it.
No.
Must have it.
Yes. Harmony is a blending of modes, you know, colors and design.
It is.
Yes. For instance, I'll give you an example of harmony.
No, I think I can give you an example. You want harmony?
Yes.
I see. Yes, they must blend.
Yes.
How about this? A spotted leopard chasing a freckle-faced girl in a polka-dot dress.
Well, that's fine.
I think that'll do it.
Yes, I think so. Oh, I've decided, Charlie. I am going to make my bedroom early American.
Uh-huh.
But I have two chairs that I'm keeping for sentimental reasons.
Oh, you are?
Yes. Unfortunately, they're made of bird's eye maple.
Bird's eye maple.
Yes.
I see.
Yes. But I have nothing to go with them.
That's disgusting. Bird's eye maple.
Yes.
Let's see. How about a dresser of cross-eyed mahogany?
No.
Well, it's harmony.
Yes. I already have a floor covering. I have a very beautiful hand-hooked rug.
A hooked rug?
Yes.
Uh-oh. I know where I can snitch a painting.
No.
I'm a willing worker.
Yes, true. I don't want anything in my room unless it fits in with my scheme of early American.
Oh, it must be early American.
It must be.
I see. Well, let me see. Early American. Let's see. How about a stuffed Indian?
No. Charlie, you'll be amazed at the beautiful 18th century whatnot I picked up.
A what?
Yes. A whatnot.
Yes.
It's truly a collector's item.
It is.
Yes. It's a fine example of real wormwood.
Wormwood? What's that?
Well, you see, there are holes in the wood.
Yes.
Actually made by worms.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yes. Yes, I picked it up at a bargain, at an auction.
You did?
Yes, only $3,000.
$3,000?
Yes.
I'll bet that made the worms laugh.
Yes. And to think there was another whatnot exactly like it. And that one was only $200.
Yeah.
One could hardly tell one from the other.
Yeah. Well, why didn't you buy the cheaper one? What was the difference?
Well, the cheaper one, you see, had imitation wormholes.
Imitation?
Yes. The wormholes were made by man.
Oh, I see. Do you mean to say that men were cheaper than worms? It's a fine state of affairs.
Yes.
Well, what are you going to do with this pump clot?
It's a whatnot.
A whatnot, yes.
Huh? Well, I'm not going to do anything with it.
Oh,
no, it's priceless. I'm almost afraid to touch it.
Yeah?
Yes.
You mean a worm might snap at you?
No. No, and that's not all, Charlie. I have some other pieces that I'm very proud of.
Yes?
Yes, I picked up a Duncan Fife.
Yeah? Can you play it?
Well, play what?
Duncan Fife? No, Duncan Fife. That's what I said, Duncan Fife.
Duncan Fife, yes. And I have a beautiful vase that would look very nice on the table.
A vase on a Duncan Fifius. Oh, my dear. It must be nothing short of a vase. I... Well, I don't want it to look too formal. No. How about a can of beer?
Well, no. That reminds me, Charlie. I did pick up something at the auction that's really remarkable.
Yeah?
Yes.
What did you get?
Well, Charlie, I've got the oldest pewter mug in the country.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't say that, Bergen.
No.
You have nice eyes.
Yes, I do.
I think we'd better take Charlie's mind off decorating before he decides to redo Edgar himself. So here's a diverting little tune from the new Paramount picture, Love on Toast, that ought to turn the trick. It's called I Want a New Romance, and Dorothy Lamour sings it for us.
I wish that someone could assure me I'd never be a romantic dunce again. And yet the only way to cure me would be to go through the whole thing once again. I want a new romance, make me forget the old romance. I'm giving my heart just one more chance for love. I sat around and cried, didn't think I would. A brand new thrill or two might do me so much good. There must be one around who'll never give me the run around. I'll meet him and I'll be heaven bound once more. I'll view each prospect with that calm, hither glance until I find a new romance.
A brief word about an interesting person.
Yes, about Charlie McCarthy and the marvelous big likeness of him that many of your friends and neighbors have already received free. And if you start now, you can have the real likeness of Charlie McCarthy free. He's over 20 inches tall, printed in full color on strong cardboard. His mouth moves, his eyes roll, and he sits on your knee. You get him free, simply mail us four bag fronts, showing the date, from 4 1-pound bags of Chasen's Sanborn dated coffee. Do this before January 31st, and we'll mail Charlie to you free. We're keeping this offer open until January 31st, so you can buy your dated coffee as you need it, 1 pound at a time. Then you're sure of coffee that's fresh, free from the harmful effect stale coffee may have on your system, never stale or rancid tasting. For Chasen Sanborn dated coffee is guaranteed fresh by our unique dating and rapid delivery system. It's rushed to your grocer, freshly roasted, with a delivery date clearly marked on the money-saving dated bag. You can't buy it stale. Try dated coffee, then mail us four bag fronts and send them on or before January 31st, and we'll mail you free the big action likeness of Charlie McCarthy. Now, please remember, your letter must be postmarked not later than January 31st. Our address is Chasen Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. That's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Start getting Charlie before it's too late. Buy Chasen Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
We've
all heard the old adage about never switching horses in midstream. But our guest, the brilliant young actress Margot, proved that she could switch overnight from a successful career in one field to a new and even greater triumph in another. For Margot was well known as a concert dancer when the playwright Maxwell Anderson offered her the lead in his Pulitzer Prize play, Winterset, even though she had never spoken a line before on any stage. That choice proved Anderson right, and Margot one of our finest dramatic actresses. More recently, you have seen her as the woman who grew suddenly old in Lost Horizon. For us, she turns to an entirely new type of role in Robert Casper's one-act play, Smokescreen.
Smokescreen with Margot as Katie and Anna Michi as Detective Burns. The police have been unable to solve the murder of Ted Stanton, a prominent gambler and man about town. Katie, who is a friend of Stanton, has already been questioned by the police, but can give them no clue. So one afternoon, a week after the murder, Detective Burns comes to her apartment in search of further information. He accuses her of being seen with a man named Smoke Briggs, whom Katie insists she does not even know.
Go ahead and call me a liar. I tell you, I never even heard of this guy, Smoke.
Now, calm yourself, Katie. Don't get excited.
I was out late last night. My nerves are on edge. But if anybody says they saw me with this guy, they better get their eyes fixed.
Well, maybe my partner was wrong. But anyway, I've invited Smoke to come here in about an hour.
To my apartment? Well, you've got your nerve. What's he coming here for?
Well, you see, Katie, it's like this. There have been altogether too many unsolved murders in this town. And most of the killings are done by weak-minded people who read about somebody else getting away with it, and so they try it.
Weak-minded? Must be the cops.
And the only way to stop them is to pick on some good-for-nothing bum and put him away.
Well, now, what's that got to do with... You mean you want me to pin something on this guy who's coming here?
I want you to pin the Stanton murder on Smoke.
Pin a murder on a guy I've never even seen? You're crazy if you think I'm going to do that.
Now, don't get excited, Katie. You'll feel different when you see this guy. He's no good. A nervous wreck. Cracked in the head. He's done time for robbery, and he's a pickpocket.
I tell you, I won't do it. It's against my conscience.
Conscience?
Yeah, I got one, all right. But some things. Just like everybody's got one for the things we want to have it for. Well, framing some poor guy is one of the things I've picked, see?
Come on now, Katie. We got to pin this murder on someone, and quick. For the sake of the whole town.
I won't do it. I can't.
We've got the whole thing fixed. He's heading for here this afternoon.
But why? I don't understand what...
There's a certain check that could put Smoke away for a long time. Forgery carries a nice long sentence. Stanton had that check.
Now, how would I get it?
Well, Stanton was pretty sweet on you, wasn't he? He had a lot of enemies. So he gave you all his important papers to take care of for him, see? Anyway, that's the tip Smoke got.
You mean you made him believe that? You know, Stanton wouldn't have trusted me or nobody.
Sure, but a guy that's trying to keep out of prison believes things easy. And with that check lying around loose, Smoke ain't too safe. Besides, we've had him down at the station for 2 days. Maybe the boys weren't too gentle. Anyway, Smoke fell for the story.
But I haven't got the check. I tell you, I haven't got anything of Stanton's. Say, why should you ask me to do this?
Because you knew Stanton, that's why.
Oh, lots of people knew him. Ask one of them.
I'm asking you.
You mean I got to?
That's right.
And if...
There isn't going to be any if. Now, you listen to me. I've been kind of sweet and gentle with you so far. Now, I'll tell you something. Either you're going to help us put Smoke away, or else...
Or else what?
We'll leave Smoke out of it and pick on you.
Oh, no, no, you can't do that. I didn't kill him. You know I didn't. You and the whole squad put me through the third degree. He almost drove me nuts, but I didn't kill him. I proved my alibi.
Would you like to go back to the station?
Oh, no, I'd go mad. Stark mad if you put me through that again. Honest, I couldn't stand it. I'd tell anything. I'd say I killed him or killed anybody.
Well?
It's a rotten trick. Plain rotten. I'll go through with it. Do the best I can.
That's a good girl. Now listen, I'll ease that conscience you talked about some. We think Smoke killed Stanton.
He killed him? Why?
There wasn't any other motive for the murder, so it must have been committed
either by a weak-minded person or by a guy who wanted something Stanton had. Smoke wanted that check. We know he tried to get it several times. He even threatened to kill Stanton.
Hasn't he got an alibi?
Yes, but alibis don't mean much. What we want is some clue. For instance, something like the gun that was used.
You haven't found the gun?
No, nor any other scrap of evidence. It was a perfect getaway.
But you don't need any evidence to put a guy away. You were just saying that.
That's right. But if you can do it regular, it's easier. Avoids the chance of a slip-up in court. Now listen. When smoke comes, you work on him and see what you can learn. And when you're ready, go to that window and wave your handkerchief. I'll be waiting right across the street.
All right. I'll try it.
Is your name Bruce? Kitty Bruce?
Maybe it is. So what?
Well, I was told to see you.
Who sent you?
A friend of mine, Rosie Bloom. You know him, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, maybe I'm in the wrong place. She ain't been in such a swell joint since...
Since when?
You don't know Rosie? He said he knowed you. Hey, maybe I'm wrong.
What was the other swell dump you was in?
Stanton's. So what do you ask me that for?
Oh, never mind.
Say, listen. This ain't no game that Dix is playing on me, is it? I'm gonna get out of here.
Hey, come on, just a minute. I knew you was coming. But I gotta be careful, see? Did the Dix have you at the station?
Yeah, I was there.
How long?
2 days, maybe longer. Seemed like years. Look at me. Can't you see it? Seemed like years. I'm all shot. I'm so jumpy, I think I'm going nuts. My head's all mixed up. It's pounding like a hammer. You don't know what they do to you down there. They didn't let me sleep. They...
Did they ask you about Stanton?
Hey, listen, I'm away from the police. I came here to get something. I want to be friendly, but I'm all right. Can't you see that?
I asked you a question, and you got to come clean quick, see?
Yeah, but you be quick. You got Stanton's papers. There's something in them I want. Then I'm going to get out of town in a hurry.
How long did you know Stanton?
3 years. Maybe longer. What else?
You went to him a couple of times to get a forged check back, and he turned you down. Is that straight?
Yeah. What are you getting at?
And you threatened to bump him off?
No, I told him that a couple of times, but I didn't mean nothing. So what is this? Maybe you ain't got that check.
Oh, huh? I got it all right.
Oh, that's great. Give it to me, will you? You know what'll happen if the cops get their hands on it? They'll have me for forgery. And if they get me down there again...
I can't do it.
You can't do it. You can't give me that check?
I can't pin the Stanton murder on you. That's what I mean.
You're lying. Lying.
I'm telling you straight. Now listen to me. Burns came here to fix things so they could put you away for good. With that check, they got a great motive for murder.
You're lying. Why did you have me come here?
Get out before I turn you in.
Take me in. Maybe you think I got the dough to pay for that check, huh? I got it, see? I got it.
I want your money, and I haven't got the check, I tell you. The Dix made you believe that. They framed you to come here. Can't you get that through your skull?
Frame me. You give me that check quick, or I'll frame you.
Frame me, you. Frame me.
Yeah. And I can do it like nothing, too. I was going my stands just before I was pumped off. I'll say I heard the shot, men seeing you coming down the steps.
You dirty, good-for-nothing bum. That's what you'd say, is it? That's the lie you'd tell to save your dirty neck. Well, the Dix know where I was every minute of the night. So you'd frame me, would you?
No. I didn't mean nothing, honest. Honest, I didn't. Give me the check and I'll beat it out of town.
Listen. Stanton was a friend of mine. I know who killed him. But I won't tell the police if you come clean with me. Where'd you put that gun?
The gun? Where'd it? Give me the check and I'll tell you anything. I can't stand these questions. My head is driving me crazy. Give it to me and then I'll beat him before they can find me.
Tell me now or I'll turn you in and the check with you.
I didn't bump off Stanton. Honest, I didn't.
They'll take you back to headquarters. Give you the third degree again. They'll put you in a room with lights in your eyes. They'll pound questions at you. They won't let you sleep. Your mouth will be dry. Your throat choking for water, but they won't give you a drink.
Shut up! They'll never take me back there. I'll kill myself first.
They'll beat you till you pass out. And when you come to, they'll still be there, asking you questions, till you don't know what you're saying, till you say anything to make them let up. And they'll get it out of you anyway. You'll confess.
Shut up, I tell you!
There'll be months in jail. And in the end, they'll send you to the chair.
Stop it, I'll go mad just thinking about it. Don't keep telling me, don't.
Listen,
don't.
I'm giving you a chance to get away, to be free. A chance to live in your tenement house.
No, I ain't. Don't say anything to get that chicken get away. I'll tell you... I killed Stanton. I killed him and threw the gun away in the river.
You lie. You didn't throw the gun in the river.
Well, I'm trying to remember.
You put it in the chimney. Away up. In the box where Stanton hid his stuff. That's where you put it.
Yeah. Yeah, up in the chimney. I remember. But you won't tell me. You give me the check and let me go.
Sure. I'll give you all that's coming to you.
Say, what are you doing at that window? Waving that handkerchief. You ain't double-crossed me, are you?
Forget it. Just remember where you put that gun. You put it in the chimney. Way up in the chimney.
Yeah, we found the gun, Katie.
Ben! You!
We just wanted to be sure who hid it.
And I fell for it. I fell for your dirty trick.
You didn't know I used to be on the stage, did you, Katie? Sure, I started out to be a Barrymore. But it comes in handy now and then. Well, Katie?
All right, I killed him. Think I didn't have a reason. I loved him, that's why. For years I loved him. We was going to be married. And he double-crossed me. He told me he was through with me. He was going to marry another dame. Told me to beat it anywhere. Away from him. I saw the gun on the table and all of a sudden I pulled the trigger. Reading all those lines about murders must have got me too. Weak-minded. I was crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy over him.
She loved him, so she killed him. She killed him because she loved him.
Paradoxical, isn't it, Charlotte? If she loved him, why did she kill him?
Maybe she loved to kill him. Maybe that's
I heard you boys talking about that dramatic spot. Did you like the way I played that?
Yeah, hanging around for a compliment. You know what we think of it, Mr. Amici?
No, what do you think of it, Charlie? Give me your honest opinion.
You want to know, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Amici, I've seen lots of good acting in my time.
Yeah, Charlie, go on.
Yes, I have, Don. I've seen lots of good acting.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, it takes all kind of people to make a word.
Well, I should have known better than to ask you, Charlie.
All right, Mr. Nietzsche, if I say you were good, will you introduce me to Margot?
Well, that can be arranged, yeah.
All right, you are swell.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. Margot, this is Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, Charlie.
Oh, hello, Margot. You aren't really a killer, are you?
Oh, no, of course not, Charlie. I was just playing a part.
Oh.
I'm really as gentle as a lamb.
Well, lamby pie, it certainly takes... it takes a swell actress to play a bad character, that good.
Listen, I wanted to ask you, Charlie. When they double-crossed me and found me guilty, did you sympathize with me?
No, I didn't. I think you got what was coming to you.
Oh, I see you believe in capital punishment.
Yes, I do, if it isn't too severe. Yeah.
Well, outside of that, what did you think of the play, Charlie?
I thought it was good. Yes, really good. In fact, so good I wrote a better one.
I see. Well, what do you call your play?
I call it Smokescreen.
Oh, but Charlie, dear, you can't do that.
No?
No, you can't. The author of the original play wouldn't like it.
Oh, he wouldn't.
No.
He's sensitive, huh?
Oh, very.
All right. Then I'll call mine Smudge Pot.
I think you've got something there, Charlie. Yeah. Really, I do. Are you going to play the two parts like Don Amici did?
No, why should I wear myself out? Yeah. Nelson Eddy's going to help me.
And who's going to portray the girl?
Dorothy L'Amour. You see, it's like this. I'm Detective Burns, see?
Uh-huh.
And by my side is Nelson Eddy, the inspector. One of the brightest men on the force. Aren't you, Inspector?
Oh, shucks. That's what they say about me.
Well, now you see what we're up against.
Oh, I'm sure this is going to be good.
Yeah, well, you're optimistic anyway. Curtain. Action.
Ah! Jiggers, Jiggers, the police. Oh, I forgot. I am the police. Yeah, isn't that silly? Let's go on.
Yeah. Who is it?
Open the door in the name of the law.
Say, what do you guys want?
We want to give you the third degree.
You can't do that to me.
Well, there's no harm in asking.
Who are you two mugs?
Oh, she knows us, huh? I'm Detective Burns, and this is my partner, Inspector. Inspector, what is your last name, Inspector?
Slipped my mind. Shucks, I know it swells know my own name.
Oh, come now, Inspector. Don't you know your own name?
I'm working on it.
Yeah. I can't blame the guy for trying.
Well, what do you want with me?
Oh, you don't know, eh? Well, we want to talk to you about that man who was shot. How about it, Inspector?
I'm innocent.
I know you are. But somebody is guilty.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time. I didn't do it.
You admit it, eh?
I admit nothing.
Did you hear that, Inspector? She admits nothing.
Oh. Well, don't worry. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Say, how'd that lug ever get to be a detective?
Well, he's more of a Secret Service man. Anything that happens is a secret to him. Isn't it, Inspector?
Yeah. But I'm working on it.
Keep fighting. Let's get on to cases now. Is your name Lamour?
Yeah.
I think we got something there. I don't know what it is, but I think we got something. What do you think, Inspector?
Yep. It's an open and shut case.
Yeah.
Either we got something or we ain't.
Yeah. That's deduction.
Yeah.
Ah, that's right. Now listen, Lamour. Is it alias Lavere, alias Laveri, Lavore, and alias Lavalier, alias Dollyface Dottie?
Yeah, what about it?
Ha-ha. Well, what I want to know is, where were you at 8 o'clock on the night of June 9th? And also, where were you at 9 o'clock on the night of June 8th? Or better still, what are you doing tonight?
I ain't talking.
Remember, gal, when Burns grills them, they fry.
Are there any more questions, or can I go?
Wait, Lamour. Elias Nelly the dope? Mm-hmm. I'll never give up this case until I prove you're guilty. I'll give you the third degree, maybe the fourth.
No.
Yes. I might even do with a 2-4. I may even do a Foxtrot, a Big Apple. I don't know what I'll do.
Oh, no, not that. Anything but that.
Listen, Lamour, I'll give you a last chance. Do you confess?
Yes, heaven help me, I confess. I shot him.
Well, you're a naughty girl. It really isn't cricket, you know.
Stop it! I'd rather go to the gallows. The man's a fiend.
You see, Inspector, it works every time.
Yep, don't it?
I did it because I loved him. I'm crazy about him. I'd kill for him. In fact, I'd kill you.
One murder at a time now. Lamour, the truth is, no crime was committed. I was merely proving to the inspector that my third-degree methods could even make an innocent girl confess. That's me, Detective Burns. The boys call me third-degree Burns.
What? No one's been shot? No crime has been committed? Is this true, Inspector?
Yeah. But don't worry. I'm working on it.
Over at 20th Century Fox, we've just finished a great new picture in Old Chicago. One of the songs Gordon Revel wrote for it sort of got in my ears, and I found myself humming it on the set for days after I first heard it. I hope you like it, too. It's titled, I've Taken a Fancy to You.
For every girl there is a certain boy. Together they know happiness and joy. I've looked for my ideal, and somehow now I feel that you and I may be that girl and boy. I've taken a fancy to you. I took but a glance and I knew There's something about you that pleases the eye, makes me sigh, I wonder why. I've known you forever, it seems. You've shown up in all of my dreams. But now I'm awake and my dreams have come true. I'm full of romance and I've taken a fancy to one. A fancy to you. I took but a glance and I knew there's something about you that pleases the eye, makes me sigh. I wonder why. I've known you forever, it seems. You've shown up in all of my dreams. But now I'm awake and my dreams have come true. I'm full of romance and I've taken a fancy to one of you.
Don, that song was
thanks,
indeed...
Thanks, Clarence. Say, Nelson, that's a mighty good-looking suit you're wearing today. Is it a new one?
Oh, Don, it's just an old rag I had made up last week. Glad you like it.
And I might add that, in my opinion...
Thanks,
my...
Clarence. Say, if you really like it, Don, I could give you the name of my tailor.
Say, that's a swell idea. I shouldn't pass up a good chance to add to my wardrobe.
That's quite true, Don.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Did you hear what Clarence said, Nelson?
Yes, it was quite brilliant.
But I hadn't concluded my...
Hello,
remarks.
Claude. How's the world been treating you?
Huh?
Claude has been devoting...
Nelson's got a new suit, Claude. Doesn't he look like something in it?
He looks like something, yeah.
You know, Don, Claude has been working...
Well, what's wrong with Nelson's suit? He imported it from England.
You ought to send it back. Claude has been working...
Say, Clarence, what's the matter with you? You just stand around and hardly say a word.
Well, I...
Yes, you are quiet. Aren't you worried about him, Claude?
This is the happiest moment of my life.
He's happy about the whole thing.
Well, I don't want to see...
Gee, where, son, you make us feel right mean when you talk that away.
Shucks, partner, Wayans ain't meant no harm. He can speak all he's wishful, can't he, Don?
Yes, indeedy, he sure can.
Couple of hillbillies.
All joking aside, Clarence, I feel that we've been somewhat rude to you.
That's all right, Don. I realize...
Yes, we certainly should apologize to you, Clarence.
I understood all the time, Nelson. I knew it was not your intention.
Of course not. So long.
I knew it was not
certainly
your...
Certainly not. So long.
I...
Awfully nice fellas.
Yes, I'm surrounded by good friends.
You're surrounded, all right.
Well, that's of relative unimportance. My main interest is centered upon your movie scenario, and in your behalf, I have enlisted the interest of Margot.
Hugo?
Margot.
Garbo?
Margot.
Just let it go.
Of course, you know who Margot is. She's a splendid actress with many successes to her credit, and I think it quite a tribute to my powers of persuasion to have succeeded in having her consider the role of a heroine. Don't you think so?
Not particularly, no.
Margot, my brother, has peculiar ways of expressing his enthusiasm. I hope you won't misunderstand.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that, Clarence. I've just been talking to Nelson Eddy and Don Amici, and they explained everything about Claude.
I'm ruined.
You know, Claude, it was very kind of you to make me the offer of playing the leading role in your moving picture, but I wonder if I'm suited to the part. What does the heroine do?
She goes to the West Indies.
Oh, she travels. She goes to the West Indies. Jamaica?
No, she wanted to go. Sir, all night.
Margot, I don't believe that my brother is giving you much of an insight into his artistic efforts. I suggest that you tell Margot about the story of your picture, Claude.
Yes, do. Tell me, Claude, is it a love story? Is your hero young, strong, handsome?
Yes.
Oh. Now tell me, whom did you have in mind to play the part?
Me.
Oh, I see a character role.
How can you flagrantly announce your readiness to assume the role of the hero when you can't even read lines?
Can you read?
I certainly can, and to prove my point, I shall quote from Shakespeare, the immortal bard. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage.
Monotonous.
And then is heard no more.
Terrible.
It is a tale told by an idiot.
You're getting closer.
Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
How true.
You see, Claude, that's how I get to my audience.
How do you get away from them?
Well, I'm reasonably sure that Margot appreciated the earnest attempts of a struggling amateur. I should love to hear you read that passage, Margot.
Be a nice change for me.
Well, after Clarence, I... A poor player, I really don't know if I dare, but I'll try. Life is but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
You crying yet? Say the same words that he said?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Well, I'd never believe it.
Margot, if you were to make one criticism of my rendition, what would you say?
Rotten.
Well, no. I don't think I would say exactly that, but...
She's a lady.
Well, Clarence, I would have made the entire passage more soft and delicate.
Oh, I see what you mean. I should have become lighter, more dulcet.
Uh-oh.
I should have dropped my tone.
Should have dropped the whole thing.
Gentlemen, in the words of Shakespeare, parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow.
So long, fellows.
Well, I really think she walked out on us.
What makes you doubt it?
Claude, I am inclined to believe that your scenario will never amount to much unless you interest some competent actor. Why not offer the part of the hero to Don Ameche?
Can he act?
He has won the acclaim of thousands of discerning theatergoers. His diction is superb. His sense of the dramatic is infallible. His characterizations are crystalline. He runs the gamut of the emotions.
Yeah, but can he act?
Of course he can. Don, would you care to play the hero in Claude's picture?
Well, what sort of a part is it? What does the hero do, Claude?
Well, I don't know.
Well, don't you even suspect anything? Well,
the hero must do something, Claude. Is he a lawyer? Is he a surgeon?
Is he a general?
Is he an admiral?
Is he a cowboy?
Please, Claude, we're asking the questions.
Can't I play, too?
Of course, Claude. Is he a scientist?
Is he an artist?
Is he a musician?
Yes, he's a musician.
Yeah, game's over, fellas.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was. You've written a story about one of the great musicians. What is his name?
His first name or his last name?
Either name.
I don't remember.
Perhaps it is one of the great French composers. Gounod, Saint-Saëns, Debussy.
De Hussy?
Debussy.
Ah, Debussy, c'est magnifique, c'est merveilleux, but certainement. That part I will play to perfection. I play music in my home, maison, alone, non, alone.
He has adenoids, hasn't he?
Don is demonstrating how your hero would sound if he were a Frenchman. Do you like it?
No. My hero isn't French.
Well, maybe you have in mind one of the great German masters. Bach, Wagner, Beethoven, Brahms.
Ah, what a rip-snorting opportunity is offered to a rip-snorting actor like me. To spiel a part like that. Ah, such how sweet. Ah, how lovely. Ah, I would like to play Bach.
Got tonsils, too.
Let us not dally. Claude, do you wish to avail yourself of Don's Teutonic interpretation or to reject it?
Well,
is it in or out?
It's out.
Well, we must narrow down the possibilities.
What kind of a musician is he, Claude?
He's an organist.
Oh, an organist.
Yeah. There's a monkey with him.
Oh, that's fine. You mean it's a hand organist? You want it for me to take it apart with the organ and grind it with the monkey? Oh, I'm a bust out of my chest with a great and bigger pride.
He ought to be quarantined.
Quando è stupido questo qua, pazza.
Gets upset, doesn't he?
Don is a true artist. Although the part is a trivial one, he is presenting it in its natural dialect.
Look, Claudia, I tell you what we do. We're going to make a big success. You and me, we're going to be partners. I'm going to play the organ and grinder. You're going to play the monkey. Everything is just going to be monkey doodle.
You must at least by this time, Claude, have been impressed by Don's histrionics. You must be convinced that he is the only logical choice for the part of your hero.
I don't want him.
But I'm sure you'll never find a more suitable or a more finished actor.
He's finished.
Well, you do applaud his technique. You do admire his work.
Please take him away.
Well, I'm sorry, Don, but apparently Claude is obdurate. I hope that he has not wounded your sensibilities or hurt your pride.
Don, the pastor, I'm happy about the whole cuckoo bonjour.
Next, a bit of news concerning your home. If you've received one of our big free likenesses of Charlie McCarthy, you know how much fun he brings the whole family. He sits on your knee and moves his mouth and eyes. He's over 20 inches tall, made of heavy cardboard and brilliant color. And if you haven't sent for Charlie, be sure to do it at once. Don't miss this special chance to get him free. Mail us 4 bag fronts showing the date from 4 one-pound bags of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee, and we'll send you Charlie free. This offer lasts until January 31st, so you'll have time to buy your dated coffee as you need it, just 1 pound at a time. Then you're sure of fresh coffee, a blend free from stale, rancid taste and from the harmful effect stale coffee may cause. For dated coffee is guaranteed fresh by our dating and rapid delivery system. It's rushed to your grocer freshly roasted with a delivery date clearly marked on the economical dated bag. Enjoy this superb blend. Buy only 1 pound at a time, and then mail 4 bag fronts to us before January 31st, and we'll send you a big likeness of Charlie McCarthy free. Be sure your request is postmarked before midnight, January 31st. The offer closes then. Please take down our address. Chasen Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Start getting Charlie free. Don't delay. Buy a pound of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow. From Wagner's opera Tannhäuser, Nelson Eddy brings us one of the most beloved of all arias, the song which Wolfram sings as he stands alone in the twilight, pray to the evening star. Nelson Eddy.
frenzy for a boy, dear cheat. Frenzy and sweet dame
Next week, we'll all be back again with Ned Sparks and Margaret Sullivan as our special guests. Until then, may I remind you that this hour with you is made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. There's no better way to tell us that you've enjoyed our show. And before we say goodnight, we all want to join in this wish. May the new year bring you good things in great abundance. And may it bring us all closer to this vision so beautifully expressed by James Hilton. Help us to rebuild the world for more splendid lives than ours. Add wisdom to the ardor of the young and loving kindness to the musings of the old. Make our eyes aware of things that are too gentle to proclaim themselves. Grant comfort to all quiet, kindly folk who carry peace in their hearts. Give patience to those who wait restlessly and hope to those who have ceased to believe. And fill our hearts with faith in a kingdom of heaven which our children's children may someday find on earth.
This is Wendell Niles speaking for Chase and Sanborn, and this is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.